This Week in Radio Tech is sponsored by Omnia Audio. Introducing the Omnia 11, the new FM audio processor that's being called effortlessly loud. On the web at omniaaudio.com.
And now, our feature presentation.
Twerd. It is like NAB on steroids. It is unbelievable. And the crowds and the craziness is unbelievable.
All right, calm down. He says that to everyone.
This calls for immediate discussion.
What's up,
Dad? Yeah, all your days are belong to us.
From his palatial office of important business.
Or in a choice hotel in a distant land.
This is Kirk Harnack.
Gary Klein just flew back from CES, and boy, are his arms tired. He's here to tell Tom, Chris, and Chris, and you all about it.
You're dialed in to This Week in Radio Tech.
It's time for This Week in Radio Tech. Hello there, I'm Kirk Harnack, and actually Tom Ray, Chris Tobin, and Chris Tarr filled in for me this week. I was traveling, and Gary Klein, who's the Vice President of Engineering and IT for Cumulus, is the guest on This Week in Radio Tech, and it's a rather special show. You know, Gary really catches a lot of information. He is he's on the insider's list for a number of corporations for them to reveal new information and give him a heads up on interesting things that come out at CES and will soon be in the hands of consumers. So we wanted to have Gary on the show right after CES. So this is a really exciting show. That said, I want to present the show to you without any further interruption for a sponsorship message, so I'm going to put the sponsorship message right here. And this show is sponsored by Omnia 11. The Omnia 11 is the new FM audio processor from Omnia. And I got to tell you, it really is, I'm not blowing smoke here, it is a complete rethink of how we do FM audio processing. Frank Foti brought in Cornelius Gould and Rob Dye to help him get some further insight on processing audio in such a way that it doesn't sound processed. It doesn't sound all mashed up and hyped up. It sounds so natural, and yet it's such a loud presence on the dial. In fact, the very first engineer who experienced Omnia 11 on the air on his station, his first comment was, "Wow, Frank, it sounds effortlessly loud." Effortlessly loud. That's a great way to describe it. All the AGC and limiting algorithms, they all employ an auto-acceleration-deceleration algorithm, and that tunes out perceptible intermodulation distortion. In fact, the Omnia 11 will detect the amount of processing that a particular piece of audio already contains. So if you're playing, say, a song from the 70s or 80s that's not so processed, and then you play a song from the late 90s or 2000s that's already hyped up and maybe even clipped on the CD, well, the Omnia 11 can tell the difference, and it will totally back off its processing and let the original producer's processing come on through. And yet, the incredible clipper technology in the Omnia 11 will make everything stand out on the dial, like that guy said, effortlessly loud. So, the Omnia 11 is shipping right now out of the Omnia headquarters in Cleveland, Ohio. They are on the shelf. They are ready to ship. You know, there's about 100 of them on the air around the world right now. People who took that first step and got the first Omnia 11s out of the gate, and now there are a couple on the shelf ready for you to order too. Call your favorite Omnia dealer, email or talk to your favorite Omnia dealer. If you go to the website at omniaaudio.com, that's one word, omniaaudio.com. You can read all about it. You can also find the dealer for your area anywhere around the world. I got to tell you, this is just the most incredible processor I have ever heard, and I've heard a lot of audio processors. Please take my advice. Check it out. You just will not believe your ears when you put an Omnia 11 on the air on your radio station. Omnia 11 at omniaaudio.com. And now, the full show with Gary Klein talking to Tom Ray, Chris Tarr, and Chris Tobin. You're going to like this.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Tom Ray for Kirk Harnack this week because Kirk is someplace in the air. Last time I talked to him was about an hour ago. He was just boarding a flight in Singapore going over to Kuala Lumpur. We're going to be talking the Consumer Electronics Show, the CES, with Gary Klein from Cumulus Broadcasting, the VP Director of Engineering of Cumulus Broadcasting. But first, before we bring Gary in, let's bring in the usual cast of characters. First, we're going to take a little trip out to the Midwest and introduce Chris Tarr, who is personally responsible for raising my cholesterol level this past week after I made the beer and cheese soup. Hello, Chris.
There you go, and you're welcome. I am not in Kuala Lumpur, which is where Kirk is going. I'm from the exotic locale of Maguanago, Wisconsin, just outside of Milwaukee. I'm the director of engineering for Intercom's radio stations in Milwaukee and Madison, Wisconsin.
And if I'm not mistaken, I forgot to say that I'm a VP of engineering for Buckley Broadcasting at WOR Radio in New York. And while we're in New York, I'm actually up in the Hudson Valley right now, but I work in the city with my colleague, Chris Tobin, over at CBS. How you doing, Chris? I'm pulling a blank tonight.
It's the cold weather, you know, that snowstorm that just passed through. I'm doing well. I'm a broadcast technologist here in New York City with the CBS Radio Group. We have six stations, 3 a.m., 3 FM. And I did not have a chance to make any beer and cheese, mix. But I'm told it's really good stuff. A friend of mine was in town recently who's familiar with that dietary treat. And I'm going to have to give it a try this weekend.
If you need the recipe, Chris, let me know. I'll send you the one I pulled down off the internet. They're all similar with the only differences I found was some said put some bacon in it. So,
Oh, now that would be God's perfect food. Beer, cheese, and bacon. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
It doesn't get any better than that, does it? Actually, a couple of them I saw said also to put some roasted peppers in, like Mancini peppers or something like that. So I may try that next time.
That's sacrilege.
I was going to say that was the Manhattan version there, where you put the fancy stuff in it.
No, nothing fancy. Bacon, cheese, beer. That's exactly it. Come on. No peppers.
Some onions and some garlic. You have to have your veggies in there to counteract the bad stuff. No, come on. Anyway, we're here tonight, and we are going to go down to Atlanta, where, we're talking about our snowstorm, but boy, when they get it down there, they're not prepared for it, because they generally don't get ice and snow. And let's introduce Gary Klein, who's the Vice President Director of Engineering of Cumulus Broadcasting. How you doing there, Gary?
I'm doing great. I made it home. It was a little dangerous tonight. Lots of ice. I'd be lying if I said we didn't slide backwards a couple of times in some treacherous hills, but we're here.
Excellent. Glad you're safe. And now, do they actually have snow plows and all the salt spreading machinery down there, or is that just something they don't do down in Atlanta?
Well, based on my experience and everything I heard on the news, I don't think it's something they do very often. I think they think something like this is going to come along once a decade, they bank on that. I think the number I heard was six trucks officially is what the city has, but I also heard that they hired lots of contractors and other people to come in. And some of the roads that I traveled today were salted, but many of the roads are not. And I think what you'll find is if you talk to people in Atlanta, most of the side streets and back roads and communities outside of the metro are still in very bad shape.
Wow. Yeah, I went to the WOR transmitter site this morning and pulled into the parking lot, which wasn't plowed, which wasn't a problem. I've got an SUV, and just my luck, I found the ice patch that was under the snow and had to dig the car out. So, oh, man. But, in New York City, we had a little issue last week, actually right after Christmas, and today's snowstorm, they did much better, but I think last storm they had like 365 trucks out in New York City. So a little different than what you've got down there. Anyway, Gary is actually just back from Las Vegas, where he attended the Consumer Electronics Show. And I guess, Gary, my first question to you I've never been to CES, and I imagine it's a lot of fun, and it's a big toy house for geeks like us. So my question is, as a broadcaster, NAB is usually a pretty easy sell to management, but if I wanted to go to CES, I'm probably going to get some pretty funny looks. So what do I tell the boss? Why do I want to go?
That's a great question. First of all, let me tell you that CES, for anybody that's watching that's been to an NAB, it's in the same convention center. It takes up every hall, central, north, south. It takes up both levels of South Hall. It takes up the parking lot across the street. It takes up many rooms in the Venetian and several other locations around Las Vegas. I read that about 140,000 people supposedly attended this year. Over 30 or 40,000 were international. It is like NAB on steroids. It is unbelievable. And the crowds and the craziness is unbelievable. And if you can ever attend a CES even once in your life, I recommend you do it. Now, I also recommend you attend an NAB because that is a heck of a show as well. What do you tell the boss? It's interesting. You know, I always tell people, I get asked a lot as I walk around the convention, oh, you're from broadcasting? Oh, you're from radio? That's very interesting. You know, you're not a wholesaler or a reseller. You're not Best Buy or Amazon. You get a curiosity, you know, what are you doing here? Are you with the media? Are you here to interview us? And the answer that I give is usually this. Hey, look, we're in the business every day of broadcasting to people all over the country and all over the world. And every one of those people are watching either on TV or listening to a radio, internet, analog, HD, DAB, you name it. I don't think we're doing a very good job if we don't have a good understanding of what equipment our audience is, you know, listening on. What are they using and how are they using it? And we'll talk about this in a few minutes when we talk about autos and dashboards and internet and Pandora and all the apps that have been announced that are now being put on displays. Toyota had some big announcements as an example. I'll show you some pictures from Hyundai and what they're up to. But, you know, if we don't understand how things are working, if we don't understand who's may crowd us out on the dashboard if we're a radio station, if you're TV, if you don't understand what ATSC is and what products are out there and mobile video, you know, you're probably not doing your job. Now, that doesn't apply to everybody that's watching this, but certainly if you're in a position where you're making decisions and you're influencing, you know, the folks at the higher level, you know, you need to walk around. You need to understand it. You need to understand what your audience wants. And the only way to do that is, one, walk around and look at the devices. Two, and I try very hard to do this, meet the manufacturers and meet their key people and have a discussion with them, an honest discussion about what people want, what their research shows, what kind of products they're designing and why. I think that keeps us ahead of the game. So when I talk to my boss, that's what I tell him. That's why I'm going. They've so far been understanding of that. I think that they understand that at least somebody, one representative at least from a company our size, ought to be there. And of course, in our company also, at Cumulus, we're designing a mobile workforce and some software packages that we want our people and our account execs to have out in the field. So I was there also to look at, you know, a number of mobile devices and get a handle on what we can do and who's building what. And we'll talk again about what I found in that regard. So I had a couple of purposes for being there. And, you know, by the way, for those that might attend, you should also know that the manufacturers show up. You know, Harris Corporation had some people there, not displaying, but they're there to see what's going on. And other manufacturers are there as well. So it gives me a chance in an environment that's not quite as busy as the NAB for broadcasters to sit down, have dinner, or have lunch with people. You know, the NRSC meeting was held at CES. It is every year. And so folks from Cutting Edge and Orban and some of the other broadcast companies were there, Kenwood, you name it. And it was nice to get to see those folks. So I don't know if that's the reason your boss is going to let you go, but that's a reason that you might want to go. The couple that I mentioned earlier about understanding what our audience wants and what the manufacturers are designing and why they're designing it and understanding how these devices work. You know, that's what I would tell my boss. That's what I did tell mine. And that's why I go.
Well, that sounds good. I mean, you're right. We do need to know what's out there and what people are buying. And for those listening and those watching who've never been to NAB or never been to Las Vegas, and I'm sure Chris would agree with me. When you go to the Las Vegas Convention Center, this is one of the biggest buildings you have ever been in your life. They set up all these displays. The South Hall, as Gary had said, is a two-level building. Then you've got the Central Hall and the North Hall. You could literally walk several miles in a day and still not see everything in just in the convention center. But now, if you take something like CES that goes out to the Venetian and maybe a couple of the other hotels, I mean, we are talking an absolutely, positively huge show. Chris Tobin, would you agree with me?
CES is great. I've gone to CES many years in a row. I did not make it this year for reasons of projects here at the office. But between NAB and CES, it's unbelievable. And you're right, the buildings are large. Floor space is huge. Wear sneakers. Don't bother wearing shoes and looking really professional because it'll just hurt. But plan out your day. Plan out your night. get there early. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's just, it's amazing. And I have to say, this year, from what I've watched on Leo Laporte's show, the Twit Network did live from CES, and a lot of the folks they talked and some of the technology they're showing that, you know, will become available in September, you know, the holiday season later this year. It's just fascinating. And as Gary pointed out, it does impact our business, both in the television realm as well as radio. So it's smart to know what's going on and get an idea of what's becoming available and how we as broadcasters can sort of move our, you know, content delivery networks or platforms in that direction. I think, memory serves me right, Clear Channel Radio also was at the CES show showing off their new digital platforms. Gary, did you bump into anybody there? Jeff Littlejohn and those guys?
Great question. I did not see Jeff. I'm pretty sure he was there. Steve Davis was not there, but they did send some other representatives. And yeah, certainly, absolutely, Clear Channel has their iHeart Radio app, and there was a lot of press about it before the show, and press about Clear Channel and all their digital offerings, total traffic that they offer. There were a lot of devices in the HD radio booth, no doubt, that also demonstrated some of the Clear Channel offerings. I'm not an expert on everything that they're doing. I don't work for them, but I know a lot, much like you do, from what you've read in the trades and saw some items there that, you know, obviously they were pushing. They've had items before. This isn't the first year they've ever had a digital offering, and they certainly have a great, you know, had a great presentation. They did have representation at the NRSC. And at the same time, the BTC, the Broadcast Traffic Consortium, and the group of radio stations that make up that, you know, a great group of guys, they had some digital offerings with NAVTEQ. They partner with NAVTEQ. So they also had digital offerings, lots of digital offerings from radio companies out there. And it was great to see them. And I didn't see everybody that I know from all the radio groups, but I know there were several other radio groups there. I mean, from your own CBS, Glenn Walden was there. I bumped into him. Lots of people from the NAB, as you might imagine, from their engineering team and their executive team. Lots of people. I mean, it isn't quite like an NAB. If you go to CES, don't expect to see a lot of broadcast equipment. And don't expect to see a bunch of broadcast geeks there, but you will see some people there, and there definitely was a noticeable broadcast presence. I mean, if you know the other people in your industry and you recognize them walking down the hallway, you'll see them. I mean, you know, DTS Surround was there. They make equipment for broadcast, and they were demonstrating the consumer side of their business. Their new 11.1 surround sound system, their 5.1, 7. But the same guys that would handle you as a broadcaster, I sat down with a guy who will be at the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks to ensure that their surround broadcast on TV goes well. You know, there are people, there is crossover there. It's definitely worth your while if you can get there. And you're right, it is a couple of miles at least from that Las Vegas hotel all the way to the very tippy end of the South Hall. And as a veteran who's done it many times, I know where things are located. I know what hall is generally going to have what. I know where Panasonic's going to be. I know where LG is going to be. I know where they group the Chinese and the folks from Hong Kong. I mean, I know as a veteran, much like any veteran of the NAB, you kind of know where things are at. They maybe mix it up a little bit. So that shaves some time off because I know my way around. I know where to go. If you ever go and you're a first timer, allow yourself a few days and don't be disappointed if in 3 days you can't see everything. To Tom's point a minute ago, for instance, like at the Venetian, you know, if there are things at the Venetian, I couldn't even get over there this year. I've been there before, a lot of high-end stereo equipment. That's where they have concrete turntables, $10,000 speaker systems. Wanted to get over there, I couldn't. Don't be mad if you can't get to see everything. You just can't. It's crazy. I don't know if you can even do the same at an NAB, to be honest with you.
Oh, you probably can't because I mean, you can try, but God Almighty, are you tired by the end of the day? But you know, one thing you just mentioned, Gary, the NAVTEQ people. That is a system that works. It's primarily intended for HD radio, if I'm not mistaken. But they also use RDS subcarriers in some markets with stations that aren't fully HD yet. What can you tell us about that? What's that like? What's the service?
Again, I'm not, a part of the technical committee of the BTC, but at Cumulus, we are a participant, and some of our stations actually do carry that very RDS signal and even HD signal that you talk about. What it is, it's a collection of stations from different radio groups. For instance, I think Greater Media is part of it. I think definitely MS is part of it for sure. Cumulus has some stations that are participating, and what they do is they have a partnership with NAVTEQ, and they send out a special And a very small part of your RDS is taken up with this. And also on the HD, they'll take up a small amount of your HD digital bandwidth. And they send out traffic information, and it's advertiser-supported, so it's free to the end user. And they have deals with some auto manufacturers, for sure, and some portable devices. I think Garmin, if I'm not mistaken, has devices that pick up the signal in any area that you're at if there's a participating station, and they have a lot of coverage. They have stations in a lot of markets, and it'll receive traffic and give you real-time information about where to, you know, what to avoid and how to plan your route. The interesting thing about BTC that's a little different from Clear Channel is that it's a group of stations from different companies. Clear Channel is Clear Channel, and BTC is a collection of stations that work together. They're very organized. They have a technical committee. They have full-time employees that are dedicated to administering the technical side of the business. NavTech has people that are dedicated to it as well, and also a sales team out there that's out there selling advertising. So it's a great deal. And what happens is the revenue that is generated by the advertising, the advertising that makes the product free and helps support it for the end user, is a portion of that is split among the member stations. So that's why a station might want to be involved. And in fact, you know, we've talked for years about HD and data on HD, and someday, you know, we can get, you know, a return on our investment. So the BTC is actually supporting that effort among their member stations, and there is a return on your investment if you have an HD or even an RDS. So, you know, power to them. I think it's great. They had a presence for sure at CES, and it was good to see that. I mean, anything that we see that bolsters HD or even analog radio is good for the industry. Any new way we find to use it and maybe generate a buck as well is something that I think is great. And so I support that. And I support what Clear Channel's doing. I support, you know, anybody who's got a great idea and can bring it to market. So good for them.
And Chris Tarr, someone who has personally graced the NAB Hall at the Las Vegas Convention Center, and I understand you've personally met Elvis. So do you have any questions either on NavTech or on anything else for Gary at the moment?
Actually, no, we run NavTech, so I'm very familiar with it. Intercom's a big part of BTC. But I do have to agree with Gary in that, you know, budgets have been cut lately in broadcast groups. That's just a reality. And, of course, a lot of us don't make NAB trips as much as we used to. But I do think it's important. You know, you're really not doing your job if you don't keep up to date with what's going on, not only in the broadcast industry, but in the electronics industry, because your end consumers, your end users are going to be using these devices. And you kind of need to know what environment they're going to be in. And not only that, but you can't keep your head in the sand and ignore the fact that these apps are coming out, that Wi-Fi is coming out, you know, these different dashboard applications. So if you're not keeping on top of that stuff and learning about it every day, you're losing out. And not only are you affecting yourself, but the responsibility you have to the people that you take care of, you know, you have that responsibility to your employer and to your stations to know what's going on and to kind of, you know, be four steps ahead and be able to see out to the horizon and say, hey, you know, this is not going to affect us now, but this is something coming down the pipe and we need to be aware of it. We need to be ready for it. And the only way you can do that is, you know, to try to attend the conventions when you can, even if you can't make it every year, at least try to make it. And when you can't make it, be sure to follow the coverage and stay ahead of the curve. But yeah, I've been to NAB and it's an event, and you really do. You have to plan a couple of days, and you can't just kind of go and wander. You know, it's you can't just kind of show up and wing it. You almost have to have a game plan and map out some of the things you really need to see, and, you know, kind of set up your plan of attack on how you're gonna you know, hit everything you need to hit while you're there.
Now, Chris, one thing you just touched on and mentioned was Wi-Fi, and Gary, when you were out there, what did you see for Wi-Fi? How close are we to seeing this in cars? And my guess is going to be fairly close, because Verizon in a lot of cities has just turned on their 4G service. Sprint's had it for a while. So what's coming down the pike for Wi-Fi? Because I tell you, a lot of broadcasters are pretty scared about that.
And they may be scared of it, although I don't think there's anything we can do to stop it for sure. I mean, there was a definite theme. There were several themes at this year's CES. I'll tell you what they were, but let me answer your question first on Wi-Fi. I mean, lots of Wi-Fi or lots of 3G and 4G. Verizon was there in big force demonstrating their 4G. Let me tell you how Verizon was demonstrating their 4G. They had a huge screen, and what they were doing is they had a laptop, I think, with a 4G card connected to it, And they were streaming movies in 1080. I don't know if they were showing Netflix. I don't remember what service they were tied into, but they were showing on a big screen 1080 HD movies streamed through 4G. And the guy made a point that was demonstrating it to say, look, let me tell you how secure and confident I am in 4G. Here in the Las Vegas Convention Center, in the bowels of the Las Vegas Convention Center, where most cellular services are having trouble getting a signal, and as a guy who carries, I carry both Verizon and AT&T, my iPhone, my 3G iPhone, I had full bars most of the time. I could not send or receive photos or emails for great deals of time. I would get a moment where it would come through, but most of the time with so many people at that event, it was a data nightmare. This guy takes a 4G and streams a 1080 on Verizon and says, I'm this confident that I will do this in the convention. And by God, it looked great and it worked great. So 4G is amazing. And I look forward to, you know, getting one in my own hands as soon as I can do that. Lots of stuff in the dashboard. Much of what I saw, at least the initial generations, will probably be something that tethers through Bluetooth to your phone that you carry now, and that will be the data path. Did see some cars and some talk about inbuilt 3G or 4G. I don't know if I have it in my photos that I'm going to show you, but I did see the 2013 BMW dashboard. It's rather cool. Saw a couple others. I'll show you some pictures. I've got some pictures of for those that are watching on video of what those dashboards may look like, or actually do look like, but you may not see them for another year or two because in the product cycle they're not actually manufactured yet in mass scale. But you absolutely are going to see 3G or 4G in vehicles. It's starting now. I bet you the next 2, 3, 4, even 5 years it'll be very commonplace, at least as a what we call a factory install, or as an option. And it will probably be in many cases a tethering, but in some built in, and in some you may even have a hybrid. You may have either choice. And from what I understand from talking to a lot of the folks in the business, a lot of research has been done, and I understand a lot of people are already plugging in either to the iPad or iPod jack that they have in their car, or just doing a Bluetooth tether. And a lot of people are streaming through Pandora or other services right now. Of course, Clear Channel, with Clear Channel, they would probably be the iHeartRadio app if they can influence somebody. But for those that don't have an iHeartRadio app, there's other apps out there for radio, or there's Pandora or a number of others. I won't take up time mentioning them all, but people are listening to those in cars right now. I heard from a number of manufacturers that their research shows that that's happening to a great extent already. It's just not all that convenient, and that's what they're up to make it more convenient.
Wow. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gary.
I was going to say, I have a couple of themes that I can talk about that I saw at the show, and I even have some photos that I can share for those that are watching that we can walk through if you're interested.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Well,
I think that'd be great.
Let me tell you about a couple of the themes that I saw at CES this year. One, Android. All I can say is that Android is everywhere. Every phone, every tablet, and in some cases, I've seen netbooks and laptops that run Android. I mean, Android was everywhere. Yeah, I saw some Mobile 7, you know, Windows 7 phones and netbooks for sure. Absolutely. And I'll show you the BlackBerry device, which runs on their own language. But those were more of the exceptions. Android was everywhere. And as everybody knows, Apple doesn't, well, maybe you don't know, Apple historically does not go to CES. Apple is not there. They do not have a booth. They do not demo any products. They have their own Macworld, so they're not there. And as everybody knows, that Apple has the iPad and the iPod and their own Apple operating system for those devices. And if you have one of those devices, that's what you're running. But if you don't have one of those devices, you're not running that. You're running something else, and that's something else. And this is not scientific, but I would say in 90% of the cases that I saw, at least at the convention, it was Android. And then next, tablets. I saw tablets and iPad knockoffs at every corner, and I'll show you some photos. I mean, the Chinese, I must have seen 30, 40 models. The articles that I've read, remember, I couldn't get to everything in the convention, was that there were up to 50 or 80 introduced, as some estimates as high as 80 new tablets introduced at the convention.
Wow.
Almost all of them, not all, but almost all of them are running Android 2.2. I'll even show you Android 3.0 Honeycomb that I saw in the new Motorola tablet. Smart TV is another big trend. Many of you watching this may already have a smart TV or a smart Blu-ray player. And by that, I mean a TV or a Blu-ray with an Ethernet jack in the back or a Wi-Fi connection, which brings up a host of applications. Might be Netflix. It might be Pandora. It might be a media drive in your house. It may be radio. I'll show you one app from VTuner that pulls up radio stations. But a host of apps connected to the internet that allow you to watch many other things besides your satellite receiver or off-the-air TV. And so I saw a lot of TVs with that. They're in the stores now. That's pretty commonplace in the store now. When you buy a TV, good chance you're going to have a smart jack in the back. But I also saw a lot of conversion boxes that you can add on, and many Blu-ray, even PlayStation. They all have connectivity. Some of the manufacturers call it by a different name. They have their own interesting names for it, product or marketing brand names. But at the end of the day, it comes down to an Ethernet connection and streaming. I happen to have them here at home, and my Blu-ray with Netflix and HD, I think the quality is better than satellite. Maybe as a radio guy, I shouldn't be pushing a video product, but, you know, let's be honest, it works great. And so I saw a lot of that. 3D, everybody's been reading about and hearing about it. You know, last year at CES, 3D made it splash, but all of us in the business kind of knew, and people would tell you under their breath, hey, you know, first generation, wait a little bit. You know, you don't want to buy the first one out, but, you know, they got to release them at some point, so there's always a first generation. This year was a second generation, at least, maybe some were third, and for those that that were ahead of the curve or maybe weren't at CES first time around. A lot of 3D TVs. They've certainly come a long way. Most of them still require you to wear glasses. That's personally what bothers me. Some did not. I'll show you in a little bit. I've seen two laptops that actually were 3D laptops. Screen quality in normal mode was perfect. And in 3D, I watched Alice in Wonderland for a few minutes in the Dell suite. Blew my mind. Now, I don't like wearing those glasses. They do bother me after a few minutes, but glasses aside, the picture and the quality and the 3D quality was amazing. Amazing for a first-generation 3D laptop, 17-inch screen. And for those of you that don't mind glasses, hey, you're rolling. Internet for audio in the car for autos, absolutely. Talked about that. And generally speaking, I think Apple's got some tough competition ahead of them in the mobile world for sure. Verizon announcement aside, I mean, everybody knows for the most part that Verizon said effective first or second week of February that they will have the iPhone. And so that's expected to draw or suck some of the Android business, maybe even stem or stifle it. In the last quarter of 2010, the stats say that just a few more million Android devices were sold than iPhone or Apple devices that have their mobile software in it. So that was interesting. But now some experts think that may change. Well, we'll see. But those are the trends. Tablets, Android, smart TV, 3D. Those are the big items that I saw at CES. And I brought along with me, for those that can see it, some photos that I think would be interesting for people to up on my screen right now, if you guys can see it, is a new product. This one has been out for just a couple of months. It is shipping right now. It is the Dell Duo. It is a 10-inch netbook. It looks like a tablet, but the screen actually flips around. The screen is buried within the top cover, and it flips around so that you end up with and then the top lifts up, so you end up with a keyboard and a netbook. It sits to a slide there. And so it's a great device. It runs Windows 7. It is a product that just started shipping, but it's still hot. Not a lot of them are out there. Here's a Dell, as you know, owns Alienware. Here's the latest in Alienware. I put these photos in here mainly for those folks out there that are big Alienware fans. Interesting about this, their new tower has fins at the top that actually open and close as the machine heats up. The picture that you see there of these fins at the top, they're not fixed. They actually mechanically move. The latest and greatest Alienware laptop, if you know Alienware, then you know what their laptops look like. Latest and greatest from them. Quick photo here of just so you can see how much mobile is taking off. I mean, who ever thought 2 years ago that Dell would have a cell phone? Dell has a line of cell phones and mobile devices and laptops, of course, but they also have now netbooks or hybrid netbook tablets and cell phones. And they are running, their cell phones are running the new Windows mobile device, mobile software. So that's who they partnered with.
Now, with those cell phones, Gary, do you know, are they tied to any particular system, or are they, is it an open type of thing, or you have to buy a particular service?
You're talking you mean carrier or operating system?
I'm talking carrier.
You know, I'm trying to remember. I think they're AT&T, at least in this country. You know, in other countries, they have different deals. I think it was AT&T. I think one of them that I looked at, though, they told me that they had not chosen a carrier, or they couldn't tell me who the carrier was, meaning we may know who it is, but we can't tell you. And this point was brought up earlier. I forget who said it. I want to bring it up one more time. Some of the devices that you're going to see, not in fact some, but a lot, are devices that may not be out for 2 months, may not be out till Father's Day, or may not be out until Christmas. Now, wow. I have special relationships with Dell. We do a lot of business with them. And I can't show you the photos, but this is a wristband I wore. It's NDA. And what that means is they took me into a special room and showed me all their top secret products that will not be out. Some not until next Christmas season. Some are back to school for fall of 2011. I can't talk about them. I signed an agreement, but let me tell you this. They have some really great stuff coming out. Some of the pictures I just showed you were things they showed me last year in their special NDA room. I'd love to talk about them. Hate to tease everybody, but bottom line is some really great stuff coming out. Let's take a look at a company called Seidel. Let's get back to broadcasting for a second and talk about HD radio. This is a company that I saw these devices last year. Couldn't find them. This device, I think, is out in March, starts shipping in March. I talked to their national sales manager. What a great-looking portable HD radio device. Not taking anything away from the Insignia, the first or second Insignia, but look at it. It's a white, small, white, handheld, color, touchscreen HD radio. I love it. I think it's going to be great. It is also an MP3 player. It's 2.9-inch screen. Here's a photo. Just one photo of the HD radio booth to give you an example how far we've come along. All of those devices you see down the row there, phones and gadgets, they're all HD devices, mobile HD devices, or phones with HD in it, or phones that you can plug an HD add-on into.
Do any of them have AM in them, Gary? Did you notice, or are they all strictly FM?
No, I don't want to be incorrect here. I don't think they did, but I did talk to two manufacturers that were working on devices that would have AM HD in them. I think they're working on chips, battery consumption, and some other things, but I think we'll see a radio with AM in it. Here's another device from Seidel, and in fact, I walked out of the convention center with one of these in my back pocket. One of my challenges, and as a connoisseur of CES, is to talk the folks in different booths into as many free things as I can take off the floor. And sometimes I'm successful, you know, a pair of headphones here or there. And in this case, this is great. It looks like a Nuvi, if any of you are familiar with it. I'm describing some of the things that I'm showing so that the folks that are not able to view it can get a feel for what we're looking at. It looks like a Nuvi, small, square, GPS-looking device. And it has traffic, over-the-air traffic information. I believe they work with a Clear Channel. It's a video player. It's a media player. It's a 4.3-inch screen. It is portable. But guess what? It has HD radio in it.
No kidding.
No kidding. Look at the top left logo. HD radio.
Interesting.
Great device. There's another photo of it right there. And you can see the top page. Navigation. You can watch movies. It's got a calculator. It's got navigation. It's a wonderful device, and I just wanted to bring that on the show to show that to people. Let's jump over to the Motorola booth. Motorola had some great announcements this year, and if any of you have read some of the trade press or watch CNN.com or go to Engadget or CNET, there's a lot of buzz. They have a new phone they introduced. It's called the Atrix. I think that's spelled A-T-R-I-X. Let me see if I have a slide. Let me see if I have one. I'll see if I can find it. I may not have put it in there. But it's called the Atrix. It's an Android phone. It is a very powerful phone. It is very fast, has great, super great screen resolution. I think they use Retina display. But here is what's so special about it. Okay, so it's a phone. It looks much like About the size of an iPhone, or it's one of those HTC mobile devices or Samsung phones that you've seen. It's got a docking station that can plug into a video monitor at work. That's great. But here's the beauty of it. Take a look at this. This is a device that's about as thin as a MacBook Air, maybe just a little bit thicker. It is metallic. It looks just like a netbook. Guess what? All it has in it is a battery. It has no brains. It's roughly 10-inch screen. Might have been between 9 and 10 inches. MacBook thin-like device, dark metal, Motorola, no brains. Here's what you do. Take your phone, the one I just showed you, the Atrix, plug it in. I believe the device is called a Zoom. No, I'm sorry, their tablet's called a Zoom, but you plug it into this notebook or a netbook device in the back. Guess what? Netbook comes alive. It is now your phone, speakerphone or Bluetooth, and is running Android. And it's a complete laptop, a powerful laptop. You can make and receive calls while you're working. You have a browser. You can do word processing. You can do everything you want. Let me see if I put a photo in here. Here's some other photos. There it is plugged into the monitor and a keyboard. Okay? So in the office, you can make phone calls. Guess what? You can also do spreadsheets. There's another view of it. So that's the office app on a monitor, but you could do all the same on that netbook. So one heck of a device. And then here's their new, let me jump here. It's called the Zoom, the new tablet that everybody's talking about. You'll see in the upper right-hand corner, it is a Verizon branded laptop. It runs Android. Guess what? It's got USB connectors, as many tablets do, which is an advantage, and a small, I believe that's an HDMI output, camera in the back, Android 3 Honeycomb, which is not out yet, but they were demonstrating it. Quite a unit. So Motorola, a lot of exciting stuff there. Something worth taking a look at if you can get there. Here's an interesting device I found. It's from a company called USmart, a tablet running Windows. Look at that. DAB. I wonder how long it'll be until that unit is made to receive HD. Let's hope it does. 9.2-inch screen, 800 by 480, Intel Atom processor. Just caught my eye, and I thought it was interesting. One of the guys from the BBC was in a meeting. I was on a panel talking about internet radio, and the guy from the BBC was there, and I actually mentioned this to him. He had not seen it, so I sent him a photo. This photo is only to demonstrate at every turn and corner where more laptops or more netbooks or more tablets than you could imagine, and a lot of them from the Chinese. Every counter, a plethora of tablets and smartphone devices. And again, most of them, not all, running Android. Lots of press and media there. Spike TV in the Motorola booth demonstrating while I was standing right next to them. For those of you that have got Sling Player, that are big Sling fans, they have it for the Android now. That's a Galaxy Samsung tablet. That's Galaxy's a 7-inch tab. That is a product that's out on the market now that you may have seen. Here's Sling Player Mobile for the iPad. It's been out for a long time for the iPhone, recently for the iPad. So for those of you that are big Sling Player fans, and I am one, go get it for the iPad. $29.99 to download. Here's a photo, only nothing but to demonstrate what the booths look like, what the flat screen booths look like, and the demonstrations and the millions of dollars that each of these vendors went to do presentations. I mean, I'd like to have that in my living room. Here's an example of smart TV. And we were talking about this a few minutes ago. This is a TV. It's built in. Plug it in the Ethernet. And here are all the apps. Flickr, Discovery, Wikipedia, movies. You name it. Watch it from your TV. And if you have a decent internet connection, I've got DSL here at home. The quality is great. It doesn't burp. It doesn't chirp. It is amazing. Look in the upper right-hand corner. You'll see Pandora Internet Radio. So, you know, we are now challenged in the car and at home with other media choices for those of us that work in radio. But just the same, I'm glad to see radio there. It's better than not being there at all. Here's an example.
That's one of the things I was concerned about, you know, because a lot of time people talk about how radio is dying, and it's really not. We're just being challenged. That's all. But, you know, we've been challenged throughout history.
Well, we have been challenged throughout history, and you know, we may have to, in some cases, reinvent ourselves. If you read the trades, That's all you hear about. Reinvent, go digital, go this. I'm not sure if anybody has the perfect answer, but we know one thing's for sure. Internet and digital is definitely in the mix, and more air dollars are being allocated towards digital, and so we have to be there. Here's an example of another company you've never heard of. I'm not even going to pronounce it. Digital Science and Technology Company in China. But look at those ads. Look at those tablets. Apple's got a lot of competition, and yeah, they cost a lot less than Apple. Maybe a third the cost in some cases. So, you know, beware. Here's another counter. More and more. I mean, everywhere I turn, tablets and Android. Here, by the way, going back to smart TV, is the VTuner app. Saw this at the VTuner suite. VTuner didn't have a booth per se, but they had a suite. Spend some time with them. So there's their app. And those are available. If you buy a Philips TV, I want to say Samsung and LG, and I think soon Sony, you will have this app. And you can search for your favorite station. VTuner, for those of you who don't know who they are an aggregator and a directory service that partners with devices. For instance, Vin on Radio in my office is a VTuner app. I pulled up Weeby 108, one of the Cumulus stations, just to test it while I was in the suite. Guess what? Came up and it played and it sounded great. Now, What is this missing? Well, maybe it's missing some artwork from albums. Maybe we can do some couponing in there and find ways to generate revenue. And VTuner wants to do more of that work and wants feedback from broadcasters. A lot more work to do. At least we're in the mix, but we have more to do to as you said, Tom, you know, find ways to rise to the challenge. Just another screen here of more and more and more tablets from different booths. I know it probably seems like overkill. By the way, I thought this was cute. This is a photo of a bunch of cassette decks. Reminds me of my Walkman in 1981, because that's what I carry. Don't know about you, but look at that. They actually still make cassette decks. There must be some country in which cassette decks are favored, but you can still find them, these portable cassette machines if you want them, the old Walkman style, if you will. There's my friend. She barely spoke any English, but she said, I read Gone with the Wind, so I know where George is at. And I thought that was great of her to say that. I just had to throw that in there. Okay, internet on your dashboard in the car. Look at that, 6.2-inch HD screen, iPod, okay, movie, okay, ebook, music, great. I'm assuming if you hit the music button, you'll get some radio. But that is the future dashboard. That's what you're looking at. Oh, there's a radio button, the physical radio button in the upper left-hand side. I take that back. Look below it, TV, upper right, DVD, upper right as well, Navi. So this isn't the only one that I saw, but this is where we're headed. This is what the car of tomorrow is going to look like. It's going to look a lot like the apps on your iPhone or your Android device. Maybe not as many, and maybe designed for safety as you drive. Oh, there's a picture of me in the background holding my iPhone, taking the picture. Okay, didn't notice that till now. It's also a lot of add-on devices for tablets with keyboards. Tablet can lift out, but then you've got a keyboard, a nice leather case. Makes the tablets much more like a netbook. For some, maybe more friendly and usable. Saw a lot of that. Thought I'd throw that in there. Here's one I saw. I don't have any idea what the Chinese says, but the English says video phone. Maybe we'll never see this product come to market, or maybe we won't see it in the U.S. of A. But video phone that you can use. Livio, by the way, they were at NAB, as I recall, but they're definitely at CES. They make a lot of internet radios, all kinds of radios. Here's one that is NPR branded, and you'll see on the right-hand radio, an internet radio with an NPR button to bring you right to NPR. I think that was cute and a great idea for NPR. So a lot good presence of internet radio there. But from what I can gather, internet radio is much more prevalent outside the U.S., let's say Europe, than it is here now. Not that it's not, could it be found in your office or your home in the U.S., but I don't think you're going to find it as much as you will in the U.K. or in Germany or some of these other European countries. But, you know, as time goes on, that hopefully will change. Certainly, on televisions, you're seeing more and more of it, as I just showed a few minutes ago, so that's great. Here's the new Samsung that they were displaying. It's not out yet, but it's a new Samsung tablet. Here's what's interesting about it. Looks like a tablet, right? Right. Guess what? The cover slides up and back to become a netbook. Sort of their approach to what Dell is doing with a Duo. Tablet, running Android. Now it's a netbook.
Wow.
Very sleek. Very, very sleek. Was impressed by it. Let's talk about cell phones for a minute. I mean, we don't want to ignore cell phones. We're talking about all these tablets and computers and other internet TVs and everything. And I've left out cell phones. And, you know, 10 years ago, cell phones and smartphones were like a big deal at CES, like a big, big deal. Now, you know, they're there and smartphone, but smartphones are very commonplace. You walk into a Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, or Sprint store, pretty much it's hard to find a flip phone, and all you see are smartphones. But here are some that impressed me. The new Sony Ericsson, it's called Xperia. It is not out yet. It won't be out for at least a few months. It runs Android. It is very sleek, very thin, very fast. Take a look at that. It comes in two colors, midnight blue or silver. Ironically, Sony Ericsson's North American, Central Latin America headquarters for the world, for that this part of the world, is located in my office complex. They just moved in. So I actually sought out and found a guy in our Buckhead office and made friends with him, and we had a nice conversation. These units are so hot in demand, they were shipping directly from Vegas to Barcelona for the world. I think it's called World Mobile Congress Show. So they're very hard to come by, but they had them at the show. And they're very beautiful, very sleek, and I'm very excited for when they come out. I think it might give the iPhone a run for its money. It won't overtake iPhone, but it's definitely, I think, going to be a good seller for Sony, if nothing else. Let's see what I have here. Oh, just to bring to light, tongue-in-cheek, how many tablets are there? Everybody's heard of the company Kobe. Look in the upper right-hand corner of the logo. Kobe made, like, you know, inexpensive flat-screen LCD TVs and other devices. Holy cow, they've got a tablet. Everybody's got a tablet. It's crazy. When Kobe starts making tablets, you know tablets are here to stay. Here's an interesting thing for the iPad. I mean, Apple isn't at the CES, but that didn't stop some people from showing the iPad in as an accessory to a product. iLove has made a alarm clock app for the iPhone and the iPad. And so now you can stick your iPad in this docking device with two stereo speakers, leave it by your desk, your dresser, and have, or your iPhone, and have an alarm clock. I thought that was ingenious. I thought that's a good idea and another great way to charge your phone, keep it by your bed or on your nightstand. Might ring, you know, there might be a call for us engineers. There's that 2 a.m. call, and have it near you, but also have it as an alarm clock. Here's another device for the iPad, iPhone that I found. It's a 3D speaker system. Drop it in there, and all of a sudden you have 3D sound. It's a long-looking speaker device. Looks like almost like a long version of the center speaker used in a 5.1 system, but it's got a dock for the iPhone on top. It's got a center speaker and a left and right channel speaker, and they've got some technology where they put some of the common material to the center and work their magic and move the left and right out to the side. Here's another from our friends at Sangian. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Is it Sangian? Do you guys know?
Oh, beats me. I usually call it Sangian.
Well, we all have one of them in our rack as an HD monitor somewhere, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But this company also makes a lot of great radios. Here's an iPhone dock. It's a nice blue, shiny-looking internet radio with touch screen. And this one happens to have DAB. We know Sangian also does HD, so hopefully we'll see that there someday. Here, for all of our ham radio operators and also shortwave enthusiasts, very popular model you've seen before. I think the model we've all seen has a more silver-looking screen. This is not quite out yet. It will be, and it'll be available on the Sangian website. But this is a new ATS-909X world-band FM stereo medium-wave, long-wave, shortwave synthesized receiver. I just wanted to throw that in there because I know we have some people who are very much into that. And I thought it was cool, and it was a new product that they wanted to show off to me. And so there you go. Okay, here's another tablet. Reason I have this here, look at what you get now with all these tablets. If you can break yourself away from an iPad and the Apple operating system, you get USB and SD connectors. SD, you don't need an adapter, you don't need anything. Here's one running Windows 7. Thought that was kind of interesting. This photo is here only because I have no idea what this product is. It's a toilet with a gold-looking iPhone 4 on top. I don't know what it's to demonstrate, but you'll find interesting things at the CES. Here's a computer
okay.
for you. Okay, all right. I mean, I just, you know, it's fun and games. Here's an interesting computer made by a company called Isis Technologies. It's a little cube. It's a silver cube, very powerful computer. Look at all those USB and SATA connectors on the back. And display, HDMI, Ethernet. Look at that. Small computer, small form factor. Here's another small form factor called the Z3RO. I guess that's a way of saying zero. I just thought it was interesting and neat. Another neat thing that I found in the ad hoc category, blue. And we all, I think many of us know the blue microphone line. I don't have a picture there of their other mics. But they now have, I think they told me the price is $69, but a microphone for these new Flip HD cameras. It has better sound pickup and better quality. And I thought that was a great, ingenious idea. Inexpensive microphones as add-ons for these cheap video cameras to boost the sound. So good for them. I thought that was interesting. A lot of famous people at CES. You never know who you'll bump into. And many of you know Dr. Dre and the new Dr. Dre Beats headphone line. It's not that new. Maybe it's a couple years out. Well, 50 Cent, that's who's in that in the photo. If, for those that you can't see it or those that you do but are wondering, who is that guy with the headphones on his neck? That's 50 Cent, stood right next to him. His new headphone line, Sleek by 50 Cent. And you'll see that in stores in a couple of months. ATSC for the TV folks out there. Talked a lot about radio. Lots of ATSC. There was a whole entire section for mobile TV at the convention where everybody was grouped together. Definitely real. The device on the right, interesting. Saw a couple of them that look just like that, that actually through Wi-Fi will stream to an iPhone or an iPad. That's what you're seeing right here. So interesting, lots of interesting devices. This is the new BlackBerry. We've heard a lot of talk. I think it's called the Playbook, the new BlackBerry tablet. A lot of talk about it. Small screen, though. It's more of a 7-inch. It's not 10-inch, so a little small. Runs their own operating system, which is not necessarily compatible with any of the other operating systems out there. There it is, kind of small. I guess for BlackBerry users who are diehard RIM BlackBerry users, and for those that have Bez servers, BlackBerry Enterprise servers at their organization and aren't going to change, this might be the answer. Here's a side view. It's got a power connector and a video out. Let's go to the vehicles. We talked a lot about that. Here's the Hyundai Smart Connectivity System. Look at that. Smart Sync for your... Look at that. That's an iPhone they're showing there, or a touch. I'm not sure which. Email, entertainment, telematics, temperature. Look at that.
Just what I need to do. Send email while I'm driving.
I mean, I'm accused all the time of texting, talking on the phone, and driving. And I like to think I do a pretty good job of it, but I think I've scared the bejesus out of some people. So maybe this will be my excuse. Hey, look, if they put it in the car, you know, certainly it must be safe. It's designed to be safe. Anyway, here's what the actual display looks like. Look at that. Dow Jones stock. Looks kind of, for those who can't see it, it's a square screen. I don't like the nav screen you have in a car, or you may have seen in other cars, but it's got touchscreen and it's got all these little app buttons. And that's where things are headed. And the thing that ought to worry us about in broadcasting and radio is, where's the radio dial on that front display?
It's probably virtual.
So, you know, it's not turn the radio on and it's now the choice between CD player, radio, maybe your nav. Now it's the choice between email and entertainment, electronic program guide, playback, streaming through Pandora, you name it. Here's another interesting thing from Hyundai, the dynamic cluster. A cluster, if you see in the bottom right, in other words, what's in front of you is a total display. I was in a new Land Rover the other day, and their display is no longer gadgets or rather meters and dials and speedometers. It's just a complete computer screen that shows you an electronic representation of your speed and of the dials. It's like a graphical image. You feel like you're in a cockpit. Here's a closer view. Very interesting.
If the thing acts up, cluster is the perfect name for it. But Gary, I'm going to interrupt you for one sec because we're going to need to wrap it up here in a few minutes. But before we do that, and before we come back to you, we're going to need to take a quick little pause for the cause here and hear from our sponsor, Omnia. Okay, that's the pause in the audio, and we're going to come back here in 3, 2, 1. And we've got Gary Klein on This Week in Radio Tech, and we've been talking the Consumer Electronics Show, and Gary's had some great pictures, and it was a great, great tour, and actually very enlightening. Gary, you have anything else of interest to show us before we have to start wrapping up?
Yeah, a couple of things. I'll go through this very quickly since we're running short on time. I always wondered why you couldn't use your iPhone to do remote control. Here's a company out of Germany. Again, the product's not out for a couple of months. Here's a quick view of what you get on your iPhone. You can connect any device in your home, and all of a sudden, you can change the channels, change the volume. Here's I just threw this in here because I thought it was fun. I wanted the people who haven't been to CES to understand that every product of every type, from vacuum cleaners to robot cleaners to juice machines, are at CES. Here's a company from, I think it was China, let's just badge say. And they're making juice, and it tasted great, by the way. By the way, again, not to beat a dead horse, but when you see RCA with tablets, you know there are tablets everywhere. Here's something for the geeks and us engineers. Here is an audio RTA for your iPhone. I think there are some RTA programs out there. Here's one that plugs in the bottom. Thought that was pretty cool. Part of their sound analysis system. This isn't even sold in the U.S., and if you wanted it, I guess you'd have to write them and somehow figure a way to import it in. Here's what the Windows Phone mobile system looks like from the Windows booth. Here's an example of a Windows phone using that phone I told you before that Dell had. It's called the Dell Venue Pro. It was demonstrated in the Dell booth, but also the Microsoft booth. Here's the Windows PC gallery. Bottom middle left, see that computer with the top open and the screen half flipped? That's the Dell Duo. Okay, that's the Dell Duo. Other great cell phone to consider besides that Sony, the Revolution from LG. Here's what it looks like. It's about as thin as that Sony. Runs Android, great phone. New HD camera from Polaroid. Yes, that's the phone in a tank. It is waterproof. If you want a waterproof HD camera like the flip camera, but one from Polaroid and one that goes in water, well, that is the phone for you to carry. And that really wraps up the photos that I have for you guys. And I'm just trying to see here if there are any products I didn't mention. I think I mentioned most of them that I thought were interesting. Clearly, if you go to CNN or CNET or a host of other websites, they will have their best of CES. They will mention things that I have not mentioned. They will also mention a lot of the things that I did, a lot of the same things, for instance, Android and tablets. But I do recommend that people that are very interested in products go there. By no means did I demonstrate or show tonight everything that was out there. I don't want to profess to be the CES expert, but I did show the things that I thought were relevant, some relevant to our industry, and I hope people got some interest out of there. And again, don't look for all of these products in the stores. Some of them won't be out for till March, some Q2. Some in the fall, and some will never make it to market. Some will get pulled for whatever reason before they make it to market. Some will be in Best Buy. Some will only be available on Amazon. Some will be in Fry's, and some will be in Walmart. It is a lot of those deals, by the way, are cut at CES. A lot of those backroom deals on who's carrying what are cut right there at CES last week.
Wow, and it's amazing. What a toy store, Chris Tobin. You have any questions or comments from some of the things we've seen and Gary's talked about tonight?
Well, I guess the question I have is one thing, Gary. What did you walk away from from the CES show? What struck you the most as far as walking away, heading to the hotel, heading home? What did you take away from the experience of the show after seeing everything?
That's an excellent question. I guess what I took from walking away from the show, besides, wow, I survived another CES, and now I have to deal with the traffic on the Strip, and oh gosh, I hope the security line at Las Vegas International Airport isn't the wait I think it's going to be with 100,000 other people leaving town on Sunday. The thing I walked away from the convention was an entertainment in the home. 3D is going to continue to grow. Big push for 3D. Big push for internet in the car, and we're going to see more and more of that. And we're going to see more and more mobile devices with Android on it. That's really what I walked away from. I think a ever more challenging world, ever more mobile on the go. Saw a lot of apps designed to make your life easier, to sync your files. Dell has a software package for their tablets that they sell that layers on top of the normal software. You go home, it syncs all the photos you took that way, syncs all your emails. You can turn your stereo on and off. More features and apps and mobile devices to supposedly make your life easier. And that while I saw a lot of it there, and you're going to see more and more of it in the stores over the next 12 months, I still think that probably 2 or 3 years down the road is when you're going to see mass adoption of all of this as things continue to grow. It's going to be at least a few more years before, for instance, you see internet in your car. Although, if you buy a car this year or next year, you may see a way to tether your Bluetooth. So lots of mobile, lots of home entertainment, and prices are dropping. And a lot of competition and challenges out there for Apple. I know they're still top dog, but I think over the next year or two, we're going to see a shift. And that's what I walked away from.
Okay. And Chris Tarr, do you have anything for Gary? Any questions or any comments on what we've discussed?
No, I think it was great. I certainly appreciate all the insight. That's probably more thorough than a lot of the stuff that I've seen coming out of CES. So it's good to see what's coming down the road.
And I would echo those sentiments, Gary, and I thank you for being with us on Port 64 this time around. It's been very enlightening, and we appreciate you sharing your experience with us.
Look, I'm happy to do it. And again, for those that have watched that are interested in learning more about CES, I took over 1,000 photos, and I couldn't show them all tonight. So you can imagine there's a lot to see, and there are a lot of photos on a lot of other websites. There were a lot of bloggers there, a lot of media and press. So absolutely encourage people to search and research all of that. And as a broadcaster, if you're watching this and you're in broadcast, think about what's going on out there and think about that, how that changes our industry, and think about how that perhaps affects your job or the sorts of things that you want to feedback to your market manager or your vice president, whoever you report to, and be ready to discuss these things. Be alert and understand what's going on in the world and how consumers are digesting and ingesting their media. I think that's very important for all of us to understand and not get left behind.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate that very much. And Chris Tarr, we appreciate you. Thanks for being with us on TWRT this evening.
Oh,
oops, wrong Chris.
Chris Tarr, you're certainly welcome. I enjoyed it. I always enjoy when Gary's on. It's a lot of fun listening to his insight.
Oh, yeah, big time. And Chris Tobin?
All right, thank you. And I agree with Chris. Gary's insight is excellent, and it's always a good time. And CES, you can't go wrong. Folks, plan on it next year. Definitely go. You got to go once at least once. And NAB for this year.
I've never been. I think that'll be fun to do at some point.
Book your hotel rooms now, though.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gary.
Book your hotel rooms now. Book them a year in advance so you get a good rate and you get a room.
Oh, that's right. For those who haven't been to Vegas or to NAB or the CES before, Gary's right. Boy, you got to get in early because you're going to get the no-tell motel down the strip if you don't. Anyway, Kirk has been off tonight. He's flying to Kuala Lumpur, and I'm not quite sure where he is next week, but he won't be here next week either. But next week, we have Tom Hartnett from Comrex joining us, and actually, he's got a device that, unless he can't get here on Friday, the Friday of this week being January 14th, if he does get down here, we'll have something fun to talk about. Involving 4G. Anyway, this has been This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Tom Ray. For all of us, we appreciate you listening and viewing, and thanks for joining us. Have a good week.
This Week in Radio Tech is sponsored by Omnia Audio and the Omnia 11, the new FM audio processor that engineers have been calling effortlessly loud. Get one for yourself. Call your favorite dealer and check it on the web at omniaaudio.com.
That's all the bandwidth we can pilfer this week. Another TWRT has propagated, and all the transmitters and audio equipment live happily ever after, thanks to the handsome engineer and his kind, benevolent care. We'll be back next week.
Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
This Week in Radio Tech.
Subscribe to iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Search for This Week in Radio Tech in the iTunes Store. Soliciting is strictly encouraged. If you like today's show, tell a friend. If you didn't like it, we were never here. Kirk Harnack's wardrobe provided by the Salvation Army and the Red Cross Disaster Relief Services. Hair and makeup provided by Penny LaPay Garcia Hernandez Weinberg.
He's unique, wouldn't you say?
I just want to get it over with.
This ends this transmission.
Tango, Whiskey, India, Romeo, Tango.
Signing off. Okay.